Chapter 29. Seek and ye shall find, Langdon thought, huddled in the dim grotto with Sienna. We sought an exit and found a dead end. The amorphous fountain in the center of the cave offered good cover, and yet as Langdon peered out from behind it, he sensed it was too late. The drone had just swooped down into the walled cul-de-sac, stopping abruptly outside the cavern, where it now hovered at a standstill, only 10 feet off the ground, facing the grotto, buzzing intensely like some kind of infuriated insect awaiting its prey. Langdon pulled back and whispered the grim news to Sienna. I think it knows we're here. The drone's high-pitched whine was nearly deafening inside the cavern, the noise reflecting sharply off the stone walls. Langdon found it hard to believe they were being held hostage by a miniature mechanical helicopter, and yet he knew that trying to run from it was fruitless. So what do we do now? Just wait? His original plan to access what lay behind the little gray door had been a reasonable one, except he hadn't realized the door was openable only from within. As Langdon's eyes adjusted to the grotto's dark interior, he surveyed their unusual surroundings, wondering if there was any other exit. He saw nothing promising. The interior of the cavern was adorned with sculpted animals and humans, all in various stages of consumption by the strange, oozing walls. Dejected, Langdon raised his eyes to the ceiling of stalactites hanging ominously overhead. A good place to die. The Buontalenti Grotto, so named for its architect, Bernardo Buontalenti, was arguably the most curious-looking space in all of Florence. Intended as a kind of funhouse for young guests at the Pitti Palace, the three-chambered suite of caverns was decorated in a blend of naturalistic fantasy and Gothic excess. Composed of what appeared to be dripping concretions and flowing pumice that seemed either to be consuming or exuding the multitude of carved figures. In the days of the Medici, the grotto was accented by having water flow down the interior walls, which served both to cool the space during the hot Tuscan summers and to create the effect of an actual cavern. Langdon and Sienna were hidden in the first and largest chamber, behind an indistinct central fountain. They were surrounded by colorful figures of shepherds, peasants, musicians, animals, and even copies of Michelangelo's 4 prisoners, all of which seemed to be struggling to break free of the fluid-looking rock that engulfed them. High above, the morning light filtered down through an oculus in the ceiling, which had once held a giant glass ball filled with water in which bright red carp swam in the sunlight. Langdon wondered how the original Renaissance visitors here would have reacted at the sight of a real-life helicopter, a fantastical dream of Italy's own Leonardo da Vinci, hovering outside the grotto. It was at that moment that the drone's shrill whine stopped. It hadn't faded away. Rather, it had just abruptly stopped. Puzzled, Langdon peered out from behind the fountain and saw that the drone had landed. It was now sitting idle on the gravel plaza, looking much less ominous, especially because the stinger-like video lens on the front was facing away from them, off to one side, in the direction of the little gray door. Langdon's sense of relief was fleeting. 100 yards behind the drone, near the statue of the dwarf and turtle, 3 heavily armed soldiers were now striding purposefully down the stairs, heading directly toward the grotto. The soldiers were dressed in familiar black uniforms with green medallions on their shoulders. Their muscular lead man had vacant eyes that reminded Langdon of the plague mask in his visions. I am death. Langdon did not see their van or the mysterious silver-haired woman anywhere. I am life. As the soldiers approached, one of them stopped at the bottom of the stairs and turned around, facing backward, apparently to prevent anyone else from descending into this area. The other 2 kept coming toward the grotto. Langdon and Sienna sprang into motion again, although probably only delaying the inevitable, shuffling backward on all 4s into the second cavern, which was smaller, deeper, and darker. It, too, was dominated by a central piece of art, in this case, a statue of 2 intertwined lovers, behind which Langdon and Sienna now hid anew.